This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugar coating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up?
Ahoy, good sir.
Good Monday.
Hello. It's sunny. Got
yeah,
some sunshine.
A little bit.
Sunny
little
and
bit.
50.
I feel like the weather has been the same for like a month now.
Really?
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, we were in the high 60s and sunny.
We had a day.
We had like an entire week. What are you talking about?
Am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Mm.
Like just
right out of the gate with being wrong.
Not too long ago.
Today.
I want to say like, what was that? Like two and a half weeks ago? We had like a beautiful week of weather.
I like how you're looking at me for confirmation. I thought we were like this for a while. I was kind of with Rob.
No, Weather Mike. How are you, my weather bros?
Mm.
You're totally letting me down.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I've just in
pouring
my head.
Pouring rain and chilly and windy this morning. So sun or not, I still felt like today was kind of
crappy. Yeah, I feel like you've been beaten.
Again,
you've been beaten down.
I kind of do. Well, I am.
Mm.
I have been.
Do.
You were also in Vegas, which I assume was warm this weekend.
Yeah, it was like 75 and sunny, bros.
Mm. Gotcha. And then you come back to this.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, yeah. This is predictable.
It's a little dreary. And you know what? Outside right now, it's gusty.
Yeah.
We got the windstorms coming.
Blustery.
I will tell you that coming across the...
I love talking weather. Can I just tell you how much I love talking the weather?
Now, we do it quite a bit. I was not prepared. I wasn't aware of the blustery nature until I got on the freeway today. I was crossing the old 205 bridge there. Mm-hmm. Kind of took me off guard a little bit there.
What do you mean? You almost blew off the road into the water?
It was blowing us all sideways.
Hmm.
I got on the bridge and the guy in front of me, we came over and I was doing the old, hey, like what the hell? And I gave him the old beep of the horn. And right as I did that and I was going to give him the bird, then I started going and I was like, oh, little windy. And then the guy next to me got pissed. So it was sketchy conditions on the bridge.
Now, how fast does the wind have to be to blow like a semi over?
Oh, I think a lot more than... I think we're just like in the 30s right now.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just asking how... Because you always see the semis swaying a little bit.
Yeah.
How fat... Like, has a semi ever gotten blown like off of the bridge?
I think you got to go like hurricane sort of stuff.
Well, I think it could be that, or it could be depending on the angle. Like, if the truck is turning and there's already a little bit of momentum going that way, it might be a lot easier for it to just fall over.
Well, I mean, I drive today. So this was like, what, 30 miles an hour? I heard like 30, 35 mile an hour gusts, something like that. And, I mean, it didn't blow me over anything, but it blew me over a good half a lane. Like, there was definitely some correction happening on the bridge. Mm. I can't imagine what driving. I've never driven in a bad windstorm, but I can't imagine what, if that's what it feels like driving in, you know, blustery conditions, like what 60 or 70 miles an hour feel like.
Well, you know,
I can't imagine that's very good.
When you're on top of that bridge. That's kind of scary up there.
If you ever like, well, you don't ride a bike, but have you ever walked across it or...
No, I don't think I've ever walked up there.
So you go right in the middle of it, and so if you ride your bike over it, the freaky part is not only is it really windy, but the bridge bounces. It's very unsettling. The first time that you ride over the bridge, I don't know how to describe it.
Most bridges?
You know, I don't know. I haven't ridden my bike over
well,
a bunch
like suspension
of
bridges are always bouncing because they're suspended.
It's just weird. Like, I don't feel it when I'm in my car. I'm not like, oh, the bridge is bouncing. But when you're on your bike, and it's a different experience. So the first time I rode over it, I was a little puckered. I was a little freaked out over that one.
Now, I know in tornadoes, being a Midwest boy,
yeah,
you know, it'll lift and throw cars.
Sure.
But
that's you're talking that's, like 100 yeah. plus mile an hour,
oh,
right?
More than that. But here is someone who's telling us that there was a semi truck blown over the Astoria Bridge.
About a year ago.
Ooh.
And that's what I was asking. Like, that can happen. That's crazy.
Yeah, just kind of get a little tipsy there and over you go.
Wow.
A little top heavy.
Wow. Well, folks, we have a busy Monday broadcast for you. And the reason I say that is because it's busy.
So it's not just a clever term that you're throwing out.
Nope. Nope. We have a lot to discuss.
There is a lot to discuss.
A lot of football.
Your Portland Trail Blazers?
Yeah, they lost that game on Friday.
Yeah, to the freaking Nets.
Now, were you at that game?
Yeah, I was at that game. My daughter, who, and I can report this. So my daughter, a friend of mine who works, who Ford does like their, is a big corporate sponsor. So I have a buddy of mine that's involved in Ford. And so they do like a, you get to be the ball boy or girl for the night. You get to go down there before the game and rebound. And I'm here to tell you, by the way, the Terror Bear.
Yeah,
Terry Stotts.
Yeah,
great with the kids.
Oh, good.
Yeah, my daughter loved her some Terry Stotts. Couldn't have been any nicer.
Why was he telling jokes or something?
Yeah, he was down there and he was cracking her up. And I asked her when I got there. I said, "How was it?" I said, "Did anybody talk to you?" And she goes, "No, none of the players." But she goes, "The coach. Coach was awesome. Was beaming about Terry Stotts." So the Terror Bear.
Hey. See, it doesn't take much to impress the someone.
Tip of the cap. Now I will say this: she could care less about being the ball girl.
Mm-hmm.
I could care less about the game, didn't care about the outcome, didn't care about being on the floor, none of that, meeting players, coaches, any of that, getting the t-shirt, no. You know what was the highlight? Blew her mind? Thundersticks.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Just
they still hand those out?
Still hand them out, because we were sitting like behind the basket. They were great seats. She could not have been more excited about the Thundersticks. Like, I was trying to ask her about the experience.
What is it about those?
I don't know, but I felt really bad because about 8 minutes into the game, I wanted to throw them away, but I couldn't because she was loving them so much. But wow, that's the worst thing ever, because then you're around everyone else that has Thundersticks. That is the most piercing, annoying sound to sit and have to listen to for four quarters of the game.
Do you think that they have ever studied Thunderstick, like free throw attempts with and without Thundersticks?
Oh, believe me. When there's
to me, it seems like the players don't.
No.
I mean, it affects them not.
But when a free throw is missed, everyone with the Thundersticks automatically assumes that it's their doing, and then the Thundersticks get louder. So every time there was a missed free throw, I wanted to punch myself in the face because I knew then the Thundersticks would only get louder. That I could not enjoy the game. I just sat there and win or lose, we all lost in the crowd. If you're sitting in the Thunderstick section, that's the worst idea in the history of sports.
You're such an old man.
Oh, it was brutal.
I love it.
It was so
the kids
so
love them.
So bad.
And that's, you got to get the kids engaged.
Yeah.
You know, that's important.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them sitting there bored.
No. And I'll tell you what, give the kids some Thundersticks and they're in the
so
house.
So just give them something that makes noise.
Yeah.
They're so simple. They're like puppies.
Hey, you want to go down on the floor and meet the players? No. You want some Thundersticks? Absolutely.
Damn right.
That's a 12-year-old.
And she took them home, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
They're in a room.
Oh, yeah. And I've already had to have this conversation multiple times. No, no. Back, up, go, stairs.
Oh, she's like playing with them at the house?
Yeah. No. That's an in the room sort of thing.
Yeah, you're screwed. You should probably pop those.
Well, I figure that eventually the brother will take care of that. Therefore, I'm not
giving
the bad
five
guy.
Bucks to pop them.
I'm just gonna wait. I don't have to wait. $5. I'll just wait like a half a day, and those things are gonna be destroyed.
Well, I didn't see much of anything on Friday night because I was traveling, so I missed the Blazers losing to the Nets. Was stunned to see that on my phone when I got off the plane, and I missed Washington. Washington, I caught the very tail end of it.
Yep.
Once I was in Vegas, but that was shocking.
Well, their offense isn't good. And, you know, not that the defense was horrific or anything, but, you know, Stanford, who's not a great offensive football team, and Bryce Love on one leg, they made enough plays. But ultimately, Washington's offense isn't good. There's offensive line problems there. Jake Browning doesn't look the same. And I mean, whether it's, you know, John Ross leaving and then some of the injuries they have. I've been saying this all year that despite them putting up points, Washington's offense isn't very good. And I think that it finally, well, it came to roost in the Arizona State game, and it reared its ugly head against Stanford. And so you look around now, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the North, which we kind of just assumed we were giving it to Washington, not so fast. All of a sudden, Washington State and Stanford both in that mix.
Man, you can never count out the old Cardinal, can you?
No, you can't.
They're just always right there.
Well, I mean, Washington doesn't control their own fate anymore. You know that, right?
I do. Yeah, Stanford does, right?
Stanford does.
Yeah, they just got to win. Well, they got to beat Washington State.
Well, I guess Washington State does. So, I mean, if Washington State wins out, they win the North. But if Washington beats Washington State in the Apple Cup and Stanford wins out, then it's Stanford. So it's
Cougs.
Yeah, it's tough.
All right, well, we'll get to that. The Blazers have drama with Nurkic.
Yeah, that was the big story on Friday
night. About
was the disappearance.
And now he's having to deny that there's drama. And
well, I'll say this. The conversation amongst the Thundersticks was, where the hell was Nurkic in the fourth quarter?
Right.
That was certainly a...
That's what I heard.
That was a topic of question.
So we'll talk about that. We've got a lot of coach news. How about Chip Kelly maybe to Florida?
Well,
that's what they're saying.
Well, we knew coaches, you know, were going to get canned, and so now the dominoes are starting to fall, and we haven't seen the end of it.
Oh God, are you kidding?
No, we're just. Well,
it hasn't even started yet.
Oh, no. Well, it has started.
Well, Butch Jones got fired.
Butch Jones got fired. Florida obviously has their job open, but Nebraska is going to be open. I think the question is out west: is do any of those jobs open up? You know, does
UCLA
UCLA end up, you know, making a change?
Well, we have Brock Heward coming on this week. He'll tell us definitively.
Yeah.
They should probably fire Chris Peterson up there.
He's terrible.
You know?
I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, somebody said that they did test Thundersticks. What would be the word? Like, they tested their...
Effectiveness.
And nothing.
No.
Shocking development. Do you think that they should start testing different things to see what actually does throw... I mean, does anything throw those guys off anymore?
That would be fantastic.
Because, you know, free throw guy retired.
Yeah. Well, you know, can we do the... I remember back in the day, the hot chick thing was a big deal. Remember they'd put out, like, the hot chick posters? And then we had the pinwheel for a while, like the hypnosis, the black and white spinning wheel.
That's interesting.
That caught on. But I think those things are
you can't do that.
You can't do them.
No, you can't do that.
Well, I think you can do them in college, maybe. The NBA, you can't do any of that crap.
Well, I guess we'll leave that to someone else.
Yeah.
This show won't study that, but,
no,
you know, it might be worth it.
I can make the suggestion, Blazers. No, no more Thundersticks.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. They don't care.
That is brutal.
They are going to keep handing those suckers out.
I just can't imagine that anyone outside of kids enjoys listening to that. Like, and it would be one thing if it was just during free throws. That's fine. I get that, right? Make noise during the free throws.
Now, how do they prompt them? Do they say, hey, get your Thundersticks out? And
well, it's just, you know, I think everyone knows that, hey, it's free throw time. You bang them together. But it's so hard to describe in person when you're up close. It's such a shrill sound, and it's just it's biting, and the random Thundersticks that never stop. Like, it's not a big deal when everyone's doing it together, but when you're just kind of sitting there and the guy's dribbling up the ball, and then you've got like four people randomly banging the Thundersticks, nails on a chalkboard.
Okay, well, listen, what if the whole arena went silent? What do you think about that? Do you think that would work?
All of a sudden, it just gets creepily quiet.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that would work.
No, because they do that, like, on the call. You know, you go to, like, Cameron Indoor or Allen Fieldhouse or whatever.
Yeah.
They do get really quiet for the home free throws.
The home free throws.
Then they go crazy. Maybe they should do it the other way for the, you know.
I do think there's something to the pressure free throws, but I don't think crowd noise has a whole lot to do with
it. And Arizona State has that surprise curtain where they always have things behind it.
Yeah.
Like Michael Phelps in a Speedo one year.
But you can't do that in the NBA. The NBA does no go on that. But in college, that's the student section. They give you a little more leeway, but that's like where Paul Allen sits down there. You can't have the surprise curtain and then, like, Paul Allen. Maybe Jody Allen and her Navy SEALs will be behind the surprise curtain.
I think she was at the game the other night.
Was she?
I think I saw her down there.
I'd like to know what Jody has going on.
Well, I mean, you know, it's Paul Allen's sister.
I got a decent idea. Given the choice between which one I would hang out with, I'd like to see what Jody's got.
No question.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, let's get going. Let's start with the college football weekend, 314 on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, breaking sports news. Aaron Judge just won AL Rookie of the Year.
Wow, didn't see that one coming.
I just asked Mike, who was the last Yankee Rookie of the Year? He didn't know, so I'm going to look it up.
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I would imagine...
Jeter?
Maybe Soriano?
Jeetsy Baby?
Could have been Soriano, true.
Soriano, huh? Was he?
I think he came out pretty hot. I don't think he took a while to pop. Well, and is the only guy to ever go rookie MVP, is that Ichiro?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't think he's going to win it. I think it'll go to Altuve, but Judge is certainly right there.
Yeah, it was Derek Jeter, last Yankee...
Jeetsy Baby.
Rookie of the Year, Jeetsy in 1996. right after Marty Cordova won it. You remember that?
I do. Well, no, I remember Marty Cordova, but I don't remember him winning Rookie of the Year. Has there been a lot of kind of...
There are a few.
That don't quite live up to the hype?
Well, do you remember Bob Hamlin? You guys probably don't remember Bob Hamlin, but he
was
played
he for the Royals.
Yeah, he was a Kansas City Royal.
And he was a little chubby guy, right?
Yeah, he was kind of fat, and he had glasses. He wore like teacher glasses. Yeah, like, I know. He looked like a math teacher.
I remember Bob Hamlin.
Well, he hit 24 bombs.
Yeah.
He was pretty good, so he won the Rookie of the Year in 1994, never to be heard from again. So it went Hamlin, Marty Cordova, Derek Jeter, Noma.
Yeah.
Ben Grieve. There's Beltran. He retired today. Kazuhiro Sasaki, Mariner, and then Ichiro. So there you go.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting? You don't seem too thrilled.
I don't know. I was trying to kind of wrap my head around the meaning of that. Like, I would like to go back and take a look. Like, how long have they been handing out that award?
Since the first one was handed out in 1949.
Oh, okay. So that's longer than
actually,
I thought.
Actually, well... Now they're saying there were two others that were that combined. There was only one Rookie of the Year. It wasn't AL NL. It was Jackie Robinson in 1947, technically the first.
I would just be intrigued to know, I don't know, the career arc of guys that have won Rookie of the Year. How many go on to Hall of Fame or All-Star careers? How many are just average? And how many are, you know, as you mentioned, Bob Hamlin and are gone, never to be heard of again?
Well, we'll put this on our research list.
Yeah.
Along with researching...
Thundersticks and the effectiveness of
the effects of Thundersticks. Some people were texting in before we get to college football here. The Bridgeport Beers text line is 55305. One guy said, you know, look, with the North the way it is in the Pac-12, you wonder if Herbert were healthy, could Oregon have competed in that North? And I don't think so. But
I mean,
competed? It's winnable. In other words, his point is it's a winnable division when, I guess that's debatable because it's just so deep.
That whole notion that Herbert fixes everything that's wrong with Oregon has never sat well with me.
We have another Rookie of the Year MVP, Fred Lynn.
Oh.
Ichiro was the second. Fred Lynn did it. 1975.
And possibly now Aaron Judge. Although, again, I think it'll go to the lovable baseball. Yeah,
probably not happening.
And then, okay, so they handing out the other Rookie of the Year here in a bit?
I believe so, yeah.
And now, see, the NL, it'll be Bellinger, probably.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cody, your boy, Cody Bellinger.
The other two finalists were Paul DeJong on the Cardinals and Josh Bell on the Pirates. So it's going to be Cody Bellinger.
Could not have had a worse World Series.
So then other folks, as we're talking about how to distract free throwers.
Mm-hmm.
What about going absolutely silent until the very last second and then screaming? Now, like KU, they do that.
Yeah.
They'll try that. Ah!
Newton!
Gotcha.
Miss!
But it just doesn't... None of it seems to matter.
Nothing of it matters. And by the way, in the North, so the scenarios are, if people are wondering, in the North... So the USC's already won the South. USC plays...
Oh, is it already wrapped up?
It's already wrapped up.
Oh, yeah, because they just had to win at Colorado.
Yeah, so they've got it. USC is the representative because they only have one conference loss. They've already beat Arizona, so it doesn't matter. Regardless of what happens against UCLA, and they're not losing to UCLA, USC wins the South. And then in the North, quite simple. So WSU wins the North. WSU only plays one more game. So they win the Apple Cup. Washington State is your winner in the North.
Wow. Where's the game?
I think it's in Seattle.
Okay.
Let me go and take a look at that for you because I want to double check that. But I believe it's at Husky Stadium. You are correct. Well, yes, I am correct.
I didn't.
No, it's in Seattle.
Okay.
So, and by the way, they have not beat Chris Peterson in the Apple Cup. They've got a Washington Chris Peterson problem, and they can
beat him this year.
Those games haven't been close. I'm just saying it has not been pretty in those games. So, Cougs win one more game. They play the Apple Cup. They win the North. Stanford wins. Stanford has to beat Cal. Stanford has two games left. Only one of those being conference. So Stanford beats Cal. And UW wins the Apple Cup. Stanford is your Pac-12 North title. UW needs Stanford to lose to Cal, and UW has two more conference games. They have to win out. I think they play Utah, and then they have the Apple Cup.
Okay.
So UW needs help.
They do, but you know it could happen. You never know.
Sure. But I doubt Cal's beating. I wouldn't think Cal's beating Stanford.
Yeah, but you know, rivalry games, strange things happen.
Strange things can
it's
happen.
A weird year. This thing's so unpredictable. You know, it's like everybody was like, oh, Washington's going to 6.5 point. Oh, Washington's going to beat Stanford. Not so fast.
No.
They didn't beat them.
Well,
they lost to them.
They couldn't get off the field on third down. I mean, here's a Stanford team that has struggled, you know, most of the year throwing the football. And I question, why didn't you go to Costello earlier? But he looked good. He was 16 to 27, 211 yards, didn't throw an interception. But more importantly, Stanford, let me look at it. Stanford was 10 of 18 on third down against the number one defense in the country.
God.
This is a team that was, I think they were number two in the country in third down percentage. And Stanford goes out and reels off 10 of 18. They could not get off the field. And it was a team that was getting up less than 100 yards. And then Bryce Love on one leg goes out and they put up 195 yards rushing against them. And I get everyone's in love with Baker Mayfield. Totally understand it. The best player in the country is Bryce Love. If you want to see the effect of Bryce Love with Stanford, Stanford is a legitimate conference championship team. Without Bryce Love, Stanford sucks.
Yeah, because I didn't really think it was all about Bryce Love in that Oregon State game, you know, because he didn't play in that game and Stanford's offense looked dreadful. I don't know. People were trying to say, well, it's, you know, they don't have Bryce Love. Well, but I don't know. Is it that simple? Maybe it just was.
No one makes a bigger difference than Bryce Love. He's the best player in the country. If the Heisman Trophy should go to the best player, it's not Baker Mayfield. Bryce Love is the best player.
Mm.
And he's scary good. He reminds me of watching Marshall Faulk or LaDainian Tomlinson or guys like this in college. I don't remember a Pac-12 back or a Pac-10 back. And there's been great ones that have come through here. I don't remember a guy to me that had the balance, the shiftiness, the burst, all of those things combined. He is the total package. And he was doing it on one leg.
Yeah, and you know what? It's like, how did we not see that, right? Like, he wasn't even in the conversation in the early preseason Heisman favorites. Nobody really?
Nope. Well, he'd been playing in the shadow of Christian McCaffrey. And,
yeah,
it's his time to shine. And he's doing it in a Stanford offense that no one has any respect for them throwing the football. So you're running into run blitzes. You're running into eight-man fronts. And it just doesn't matter. He just rips off big runs. He is amazing.
So if Paul Allen were told that, you know, because his seats are right there underneath the basket, if he were told that you could affect the opposing free throw percentage of your opponents by 10% or something to that effect, do you think he would wear a Speedo for us? We could do the Blazers could steal a bit from Arizona State. Now, I mean, that's a pretty significant advantage.
I don't think
10%.
I think we all lose.
I think we all win.
I don't think Paul Allen in a
Speedo. Can you imagine what that looks like?
Now I'm just picturing other owners in Speedos from just around the different leagues. Like, did you see Arthur Blank and Jerry Jones together?
Yeah.
It's
well, they've been, yeah, look, they're old guys.
Well, one looks like Herman Munster and the other one looks like the Mummy.
I am a Monkey fan.
And for whatever reason, now I'm picturing those two like standing side by side in the owner's box wearing Falcon and Cowboy.
Well, imagine Mark Davis, what he looks like.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that is not a room of lookers.
No,
those owners.
No, it's not.
Steve
Ballmer running out there.
Right.
You might actually get him to do it.
But what if, okay, so you're in the playoffs and Paul Allen's in a Speedo, but he's not going to bust it out just for any old free throw.
Yeah.
Like late game, like, you know, like this is the one time, Paul, we need you to gear down. Like right now.
NBA playoffs and he goes tearaway suit.
Yes.
He goes party boy suit.
Right before a huge free throw and the guy misses it.
Now, can I tell you that this, I'm understanding that if people think I'm weird for this, but I'm painting a whole picture here. And I'm thinking tearaway suit, right?
Yeah.
Rip it away.
Well, he doesn't wear a suit, but.
Well.
Tearaway clothing.
Tearaway clothing. But I'd like to think that
his clothes kind of look tearaway anyway.
I know. But I'm thinking suit. He tears it away. I'm thinking blazer Speedo, pinwheel in front.
Yes.
And then I'm thinking those like sock garters. So dress shoes, black socks with those things that hold them up around your calf.
Yeah.
Bow tie.
Oh, yeah.
So bow tie with no shirt at all.
Yes.
So much.
Stirrups.
Yes.
Bow tie
with
underneath.
The socks.
Stirrup socks.
God.
And can he go into the like sideways, one leg straight, one leg up pose?
Oh, sure.
Like,
there
hand
you go.
On his head.
No. Yeah.
Maybe he puts his leg up on Olshay, you know, while he's sitting there.
Captain Morgan style.
Yeah. No, there's no way that guy makes that free throw.
No.
It's just not going to, he's not going to make it.
You cannot focus with that going on.
Look, I think we need to, at this point, question Paul Allen's
his commitment.
Commitment to his basketball team.
I mean, playoff time, right? You got a final shot. What is the Happy Gilmore? How am I supposed to chip with that going on, Doug?
Now, would that be illegal, do you think? Like, would he I mean, what would happen?
He owns the team. He owns the building.
Would he be kicked out of the game?
But is it against the rules?
Can't get kicked out of the game. Has an owner ever been booted from a game?
I don't think they can kick him out, but
he owns the team.
Cuban's
the arena,
right?
I know, but
like, that's his place.
That's against the rules. You can't do that.
Is it?
But it's his place.
Yes.
I don't know if it is. What if I had courtside seats and I decided
you can't do it.
And I decided to go Speedo?
Yeah.
You can't do it.
No shirt, no shoes, no service.
No,
you can't. You have to be properly dressed.
Can I go no shirt? So what is it? Is it the no shirt or is it the Speedo?
No, I don't think you can take your shirt off in there either.
That would get me the heave ho.
We need to talk to somebody about this.
Let's talk to Todd. Todd runs all the little.
But, yeah, but if you're the owner, I think you can do whatever you want. It's just that the league would come back and be like, no.
This guy, the text program is right. He would get a sternly worded letter from the NBA.
Exactly. That's what would happen.
A cease and desist.
What if, okay, so then one other.
Rip City in glitter on the back. Yes.
No question. Yeah. I mean, you could really spice this up.
You could. A lot of things that we could do. What do we feel about body glitter?
I love body glitter. Wear
Does
it all the time.
Does the tearaway suit, as it's torn away, trigger glitter to explode out of it?
Oh, God, yes.
See, now we're getting into it. Now the creative juices are flowing.
God, so good. What if you had everybody silent and then one person screamed right at the last minute? Do you think that would screw up a free throw?
Like a blood-curdling scream?
Yeah.
Well, what if you went air horn style?
No, see, air horn, I don't think you can do that.
Well, again, you're going to get the heave-ho, but it's too late. Like, if you air horn it and the guy misses the free throw, you're talking crucial moment. What if everyone went air horn last second, he misses the free throw, so what? Go ahead.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah, you kick me out?
That's
great.
Illegal.
You already missed the free throw.
Right.
Yeah, problem solved.
Yeah, they can't change the result of the free throw.
No.
He missed it.
So the air horn's
we dabbled in some gray to make him miss it, but...
Well, we've had these before. I don't think it's been in the NBA, but I know in the NFL there's been some shenanigans with the laser lights. The pointers.
Yeah.
Like don't go in quarterback or, you know, kicker's eyes, things like that. Maybe a nice place to mirror some sunlight reflection.
We're getting reports of possibly some tassels.
Ooh.
In the can we work that in?
I didn't even think about that. You know what? It. And that's my fault for an oversight.
It is.
You know, I put a lot of thought in that, and I never the tassels never crossed my mind.
All right. Well, listen. Enough about that. Let's get back to college football. There were a lot of surprises, like Ohio State doing that to Michigan State.
No.
There was the way Notre Dame lost to Miami.
I made on Twitter, and I'll do it on the air, my official apology to the U.
Yeah, dude, they're awesome. Let's talk about them next.
Didn't see it coming.
So we'll talk about the most surprising occurrences of the weekend in college football next. Here is Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, a wild weekend in college football. Here we go. Buckle up. It's already starting to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean,
teams are going down.
There's
a lot of football left too, man.
There is so much. That's why I say, like, when these rankings come out, everyone just needs to breathe and relax because just anything can happen at this point. You know, for a while there, we thought the Big Ten, you know, was in position to get two teams in. Now it looks like Wisconsin, maybe their only hope to get a team in. But then other people believe that maybe a two-loss Ohio State team can still get in. It's a funky thing. You know, does the ACC get two teams in? You know, what if Auburn runs the table and wins the SEC as a two-loss team? You know, there's so many scenarios still to play out here.
Well, Auburn kicked the crap out of Georgia.
Yeah.
40-17. Georgia's still in it, but that is that's a big blow to them.
Well,
they didn't look good.
It's a bad loss. Same thing with like Ohio State. I mean, you can't tell me that the optics of those things don't matter. You know, it was a quality team. You know, Auburn was ranked high, but the way it happened, people aren't going to forget that. Just like Ohio State, both of Ohio State's losses, to be honest with you, the Iowa loss, they got their ass kicked, and Oklahoma took them behind the woodshed. So I think that hurts Ohio State that their two losses, even though they're to good teams, although Iowa's not going to end up being ranked, were ass whippings. They weren't close losses.
And then you got Miami hammering Notre Dame. That's probably the biggest surprise to me.
That was the one for me.
Georgia going down that bad was pretty surprising.
But. Yeah, not that they lost to Auburn, but how it happened. I just running the ball in defense usually travels, and boy, it didn't there. They went into Jordan-Hare Stadium, and Auburn sent a message. And now if you're Alabama, I think you're sweating out the Iron Bowl a little bit more. You know, Auburn's been up and down, but seeing what they did and the fact that they have, what, four starting linebackers out now for Alabama?
I thought they had – oh, is it four starters? And I think there's a fifth guy that's hurt too.
Yeah, there might be fifth linebacker.
They lost two against Florida State.
Yeah.
And then they lost two more, not this past weekend, but the weekend before.
And there might – like I said, there might be another one out, but, you know, they – they did not look dominant on defense, and I don't know whether that was because of injury or they were overlooking Mississippi State, but Mississippi State ran the ball on them.
That's a tough team, Mississippi State. They surprised me, too.
Yeah, and Alabama, you know, escaped with a narrow win there. But all of a sudden, the Iron Bowl looks like a very, very interesting game. But yeah, the surprising one to me was Miami. I had seen Miami play a couple times this year, and just, to be honest, I just wasn't a believer. I just thought Miami was a bit of a paper champion. And I said it on the air. I said, coming into Virginia Tech or Notre Dame, I said, one of those teams will expose Miami. And all Miami did was lay a 28-10 beat down and then 41-8. I mean, they put an ass kicking on both of those football teams. And you look at Miami now, and Miami absolutely has to be taken seriously as a national title contender. And I'm salivating at the prospect of Clemson, who I think when Kelly Bryant is healthy, is still one of the two, maybe two, three best teams in the country. I can't wait to see Clemson in Miami.
Well, I love that Miami coach. I think that dude kind of got his name's Mark Richt, and he got a raw deal at Georgia because all he did was win 10, 11, 12 games there. That's all he did. And then, of course, they're Georgia, and they think they should do better. Well, now you get Kirby Smart, who just goes in and gets stomped by Arizona. Meanwhile, Mark Richt out at Miami. I just kind of love that he's kind of going, hey, whoa, you forgot about me. Dude, that guy's 18-4 at Miami.
Yeah.
He is kicking some butt down there. He is a legit elite coach that never gets mentioned with the elites because he hasn't won a championship yet. But I would love to see Miami get in there and Georgia not, and then hear Georgia fans start bitching about Kirby Smart. Because that was the whole thing about Richt was, you know what, he's good, but he can't get us over the hump. Well, guess what? He may be able to do that in his second year at Miami. Well, maybe the problem wasn't him.
The thing about Miami, and it's interesting, so Clemson has the one loss. You know, they have to play each other at the end of the year, and then probably rematch in the ACC title game. So, you know, what if Miami beats Clemson and deals Clemson their second loss, and then Clemson gets revenge on Miami in the ACC title game and ends up knocking them off?
So then Clemson would be the champ, but...
But Miami would be a one-loss team.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's with a win over Clemson. It's
we'll see.
There's so many things that could still happen here.
I just think it's awesome that Miami's good again. Like somebody texted in and said, you know, college football just seems better when Miami's cooking. Totally agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting there watching. I think my brother either sent me a text or he tweeted out. He said, it feels right that Notre Dame and Miami are playing in a big game. And that was a big-time environment. Now, shame that one team didn't show up. But for a half, I enjoyed watching Notre Dame get their ass kicked. And I don't have anything against Notre Dame. I just thought it was fun to see Miami in a little bit of the it'll never be the way it was. You can't. Those days are gone. The Michael Irvin days, even the Jeremy Shockey, those teams, the NCAA doesn't allow it anymore. But to see kind of the, I don't know, the juice back, the swagger from Miami.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That was cool to see.
It's awesome. Cause they kind of have a little, they just have kind of a, well, like you say, the swagger is a good word, but they just have a little bit of a villainous type of, just vibe to them because, you know, cause the old days of Miami.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually pulling for them. I think that's cool to have, but I'm pulling for Mark Richt to shove it to Georgia. I think that'd be great.
But I posed that question to you. What would the playoff committee do if Miami beats Clemson in the finale there?
In the championship game?
No, in the finale. They play in the regular season. And then they have to go back and play in the conference title, and Clemson ends up beating them in the conference championship.
What would the committee do? Well, it would depend on what other... You know, it depends on how the other schools, like who else is in there.
Yeah, but would you put a two-loss Clemson conference title team over a one-loss Miami team?
Well, they claim that, you know, they really weigh conference championship or not?
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, conference
championship. I mean, they put Ohio State in there last year. They didn't win the
Big
Ten.
They didn't win it. But it would be fascinating to see Miami get in over a Clemson team that just beat them in the ACC title game. So if you want chaos, that could give you
okay,
some chaos.
In that scenario,
or both they get in. I don't know.
If that's the scenario, I think you got to go Clemson. I do, because the other loss, well, one, they won the conference fair and square. They beat Miami when it mattered most.
Yeah.
Right? If this is the scenario you're painting. And then two, their loss to Syracuse, they lost their quarterback.
Yeah, to Kelly Bryant.
And I think that matters. So I would say that if that were the scenario, I think Clemson would get the nod over Miami.
It's just interesting that we will, and I don't know if it's possible any other way. I mean, I suppose you could have chaos here over the last couple weeks, but I believe it's kind of already predetermined that we're going to get Miami and Clemson in the ACC title game, and they get to play. So it's kind of like the Big 12. We're going to get a rematch because the Big 12 plays everybody. The Big 12 is going to be a rematch of a regular season game, and so is the ACC title game, and it's going to be a rematch of the very last game of the year, the very
okay,
next week.
But there's some confusion here, because if you look at Miami's schedule, because some of these people are saying, well, Miami and Clemson don't play.
See, right here, it's at the...
I know, but I think they're already putting that in at that. That's December 2nd. That is, I think that's the ACC title game. Because if you look at Miami's schedule, they've already played... Well, they had a game canceled.
They've only played 9 games. Oh!
They had a game canceled, and then they have Virginia and Pitt. I think they're already... That Clemson game you see there...
That's the ACC title game?
Yeah, because they're saying it's played at a neutral location, so they don't actually play.
Oh.
They're already just... They must be already locked up then.
Yeah, because I saw Miami only has played 9 games, and that would be their 12th game, but I forgot that they had one canceled.
Yeah, so they're done with Virginia... Well, they have 2 games left. They have Virginia, and then they're at Pitt.
Okay.
And then they play Clemson in the title game. So your scenario would not happen.
Never mind then.
Yeah. No counties.
I just was like, how crazy would that be? They were getting a rematch the very next week. But
well, look,
because of that canceled game that I'm guessing now they're not going to make up against, was that Arkansas State?
Yeah, so I'm pulling for, I got my Miami pom-poms out. I got my Mark Richt pom-poms. I want them to do something. I think that'd be fun to see them back in the college football playoff and not Clemson again. Here's what I want. I've already got it figured out. You want Alabama because they're the bad boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's freaking Alabama.
Yeah.
The tournament's better with them in it. It's like having Duke in the Final Four or whatever. It's like, all's right in the world. I want Miami. I want Oklahoma because I want to see Baker Mayfield do his thing in the, the playoff. And then I just want the best team that's left. What is that? If it's Georgia, if it's Ohio State, if it's Auburn, if it's Wisconsin, I don't care. Maybe Wisconsin as an underdog would wouldn't that be fun?
See, I wouldn't mind seeing an undefeated. I'd like to see Wisconsin run the table, and
no one would give them a chance.
I'd like to see the Badgers get in there and mix it up against Alabama in the first round.
That'd be a pretty sweet playoff.
Yeah,
right there. All right. Well, coming up next, back to the Pac-12, and how about a little love? You know, we're getting prompted by our listeners. Mm. They are not happy that we are not giving love to the Washington State Cougars.
Well, we can. I mean, Washington State controls their own fate, right? Win the Apple Cup and you're in.
You seem reluctant to do it. Don't be. Don't be.
Well, someone did say at the start of the year that the second best team in the North was Washington State. Now,
Thank you for acknowledging that I said that.
I had Washington as the best team, and we'll find out here coming up, another 2 weeks, exactly who it is. This is a big one for Washington State. They've been on the doorstep here the last 2 years to win the North, and they have a Washington problem. They've had their ass kicked since Chris Peterson got there. This is a big prove-it game for Washington State. I think this is a program-defining game for Washington State coming up in the Apple Cup.
All right, 3:48 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's the text right here. Coug Bro chimes in. As much love as Washington's defense has gotten on this program and for Bryce Love, where is the love for Hercules and the speed defense of Washington State?
Well, first off, I've been talking about Hercules Mataafa all year. I think he should be the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year.
Who would even?
He's phenomenal.
Who would beat? He's got to be. It's a runaway.
I would assume so. And then you look at Washington State, their defense has been good all year. It wasn't as good as Washington's. I mean, Washington's defense was ranked number one or number two in the country. That's why you talked about Washington's defense. But to say that Washington State's defense hasn't gotten any credit, I think that's ridiculous. In fact, I think the defense has been more consistent than the offense has been for Washington State. But really, their big performance that I think doesn't get enough credit is the Stanford game against Bryce Love, because Bryce Love clearly wasn't okay. Bryce Love was injured against Washington. He was injured against Washington State. But it still doesn't change the fact that they held him to under 100 yards. And outside of, what, the 51-yard touchdown that he had, I think he averaged like 1.5 yards per carry.
Well, he had 16 carries for 69 yards in that game.
Yeah. And most of them came off of the, like I said, he had like a 50-yard touchdown run. And outside of that, he didn't do much of anything. So absolutely, Washington State's defense should get credit. Washington State has been a good team all year. They have two stinkers where they didn't show up at all. They got their ass kicked by Cal, and then Arizona ran them out of the building. So, you know, against Khalil Tate, the defense was horrible. They gave up 54 in that game. But Washington State is a good football team. They're 9-2. They got a chance to have a 10-2 season. And to me, look, Washington State's already had a hell of a year, but we've seen this from Washington State before. The last 2 years, if they win the Apple Cup, they go on and they win the Pac-12 North. As good as Washington was last year and played in college football playoff, if Washington State would have knocked them off in that game, Washington State wins the North, not Washington. So this is the third year in a row that this has happened. This is a program defining game for you. Washington does not look particularly good right now. Their offense is a bit of a mess. The defense showed vulnerabilities against Stanford for the first time all year. They've lost twice. This is a program-defining game to get out of the shadow of Stanford, to get out of the shadow of Oregon, to get out of the shadow of UW for Washington State. You know, they exercised the Oregon Demons the last couple years. They got Stanford, and, you know, they need to get over the Washington Chris Peterson hump. And if they do, you know, you still have to obviously win the Pac-12 North, or you have to win the Pac-12. You have to beat USC to go on and play in the Rose Bowl. But I think even if you end up losing that game against USC, I think winning the Pac-12 North, I think, is validation, if you haven't already had it already, for the job that Mike Leach has done. And, you know, the brilliant move, taking a program that was on death's doorstep, going out and hiring the Pirate, and he's resurrected him.
All right. And here's Washington fan. I'm going to corkscrew a Washington text in here.
Yeah.
As a Husky fan, I'm grateful we are, as a program, back to the point where a lot of the fan base is viewing a potential 10-2 season as disappointing.
Yeah.
So true.
I mean, you're there. And I think that's my point when I say a program-defining game. I think for Washington State fans, you know, winning 9 games is a great accomplishment. But I think, you know, you're trying to reach that point where winning 9 games and having 3 conference losses isn't good enough. You know, having the stinker against Cal and the one against Arizona and then losing to your rival, that doesn't make for a good season. If I would have told, you know, 5 years ago, Washington State fan, that you're going to win 9 games, you're doing handsprings. And yet, I don't think there's a Washington State fan that would consider this a success if you lose this Apple Cup.
All right. Coming up next, we've got some college football coaching items to discuss. Another coach has fallen. He has been fired. And will Washington State be able to keep Mike Leach? You know, that's a good question.
Yeah, there's some rumors out there.
Because his AD is gone. Bill Moose just ran off to Nebraska. So we'll get to that next on The Fan.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.